Let me ask you a question. How many here enjoy celebrations? Come on, show your hands. Don't get them up there. So, there's not a, good to see those hands, because otherwise this little talk tonight's not going to go anywhere. It's great to celebrate. And my wife is, she's an expert at celebrations. When I lived here on these grounds for 4 years, there was a program called the Winter Program. Some of the victims are pictured in that photograph over there. I say that kiddingly. It was a wonderful time. And how many of you heard of Gordon P. Gardner? Yeah, because you have the internet. That's the shame of it, right? But he was the first director, he and his wife, Caroline, and they had, God had laid it on their hearts to have what became known as the Winter Program, but to teach those who were interested more about the Lord, bring them more to the Lord, seek the Lord, and then if there was a calling over their life, to pursue that. And I had the opportunity to live on these beautiful grounds for 4 years. The third year, my wife, Diane Schneider, she was Diane Papa then, she would write to me to inform me what was going on back home in the Kingsburg Pentecostal Church. It's amazing how those letters transform from what's going on to other things. And what's so funny about that? Well, as she would occasionally send me up packages. Now, I learned real quick that I could never open these packages around the other guys. Because things would pop out. Like, I recall one time I said, I got this big box because she worked in a company then, UPS came up here. And I got this big box. And my birthday was coming. I opened that and balloons popped out. But I had to open it up in Nonantum by my lonesome. So I had a little party up there, you know. And balloons were popping out, and she gave me a stuffed animal. You don't give guys, the girls, you don't give guys stuffed animals. I mean, maybe there's a guy here going, oh, I got a cuddly little friend at home. Hey, I'm not judging you. That's fine. But I thought, well, this is cute. But she's so good. And at home, whether it's my daughter's birthday or my son's birthday or my birthday or Father's Day, you know, my wife, you know, she's so busy, but she'll go shopping. And then, you know, in the morning when you wake up, what do you find, Amy, right? We're on the breakfast table, all these things. But when it's her birthday, I'm not that great at celebrating, you know? And so it's last minute. It's like, tomorrow's Mother's Day? Or tomorrow's her, you know, and then I create things. But she's so good at it. I mean, the best that I could do with celebrating, I remember some of you know Phil Waffle, the tall one, the tall version. We were up here and we were roommates up in cabin, I don't know what number it is, 3, and it was his birthday. And so I thought I'd be a wise guy, and of course this was wrong, I just opened his door and I threw a bunch of firecrackers at him. You know, and I was wrong, we don't do that. And you don't tell stories like that. And I never did it again. And if I was where I was spiritually, I would never have done it. But you know, I thought I was trying to be cruel at him. But Phil, he said, oh, thank you, oh, thank you, thank you. Because I was the only one who acknowledged his birthday. I remind him every birthday. Today's his birthday. That's why I thought of that. Today's Phil's birthday. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, boy. You're the only one who remembered. Well, where am I going with this? I'm going that it's good to celebrate. In the Old Testament, they had a lot of celebrations. You know some of them if you've studied. You know, some of them were very severe feasts, but some of the feasts were very joyful. I'm thinking of like Purim. You know, that's when Haman, they celebrate the how Haman was going to destroy all the Jews. But God turned it around through Esther. And what happened? I mean, it ended up that he hung that day, and the nation, the Jewish nation, was saved, right? And they celebrate that. But I thought of the, how about the Feast of Tabernacles? Now, when you study that, that's a real interesting time. What they would do is to celebrate how God kept them in the wilderness, that each family, if you have any imagination, just picture this. They would build huts, you know, and they weren't, they weren't like real good huts either. They had to have cracks in them. And the families, they would all gather together in those huts at the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they would be able to look up and see the stars at night to remember how they were in the wilderness. They would let the wind blow through. So, and what a great way to celebrate and to remember. How about the Hanukkah? You know, what they celebrated in 165 B.C., the Greeks had desecrated the temple. But you've heard of the Maccabeans? The Maccabeans, they restored, 3 years later, they restored the temple. And just later on, the Pharisees, that's where they came from. So they were really heroes at first. But Hanukkah, they celebrate light coming back into the temple. After it had been desecrated. So in the Old Testament, there's so many more of times when they celebrate. It's a good thing. I thought of reasons to celebrate. Celebrations bring good things to mind, don't they? Right? You celebrate an anniversary or a birthday. You celebrate these holidays. They bring good things to mind. And that's why you're celebrating. Celebrations recognizes accomplished goals. Like me, reaching the good year of 57, right? But at least I'm not as old as Brother Tom. He's decrepit. Celebrations build a history that supports your future. Let me just go over this again, okay? Listen to this. They bring good things to mind when you celebrate. Right? Now, nobody celebrates getting fired. Maybe some of you do if it was a crummy job, but or you didn't really want the job, or your parents made you get the job. But for the most part, nobody celebrates bad things. We only celebrate the good things. It brings good things to mind. When you celebrate, you recognize accomplished goals. And the third one's so important. When you're celebrating, you're building a history that supports your future. You're building on it, aren't you? So where I'm going with this tonight is, how often do you celebrate your salvation? That somehow God got through, and you found the Word of God, and you found Jesus Christ in a real way. When there's so many that are in darkness, when there are so many who are still following their own ideologies and philosophies, you're redeemed. Let me ask you, how often do you celebrate it? Every morning, I hope, right? And I want to encourage you to celebrate. You know, go ahead and celebrate it, and do something about it. When you, every morning you ought to just say, well, I don't know about the weather, and I don't know whether things are going to go my way today. I don't know whether I'm going to be happy with every person I meet, or they're going to say things I like, but I'm going to celebrate that I'm redeemed. I suggest a party hat. No. I always got to push it too far. But you know, we need to, because I feel that on the narrow way, one of the enemies' cruelest and best tricks is to minimize what God has given us. We may not lose it. We may not even backslide from it. But if the enemy can keep us from celebrating it, we lose power. And we lose sight of Jesus Christ. So tonight, I want us to celebrate. I want to just bring out three things that cause me and my heart to celebrate. All right? So You ready to get your party on? Huh? You don't look it. You know, if I was throwing a party, thank you. If I was throwing a party tonight, some of you would not get an invitation. That's bad news. But I know you're a little tired, maybe you're weary, because after all, camp just started and you haven't done a thing yet. But we're going to celebrate tonight because we have an awesome God.
Amen.
And you know, I'm going to be a cheerleader about it. I'm going to try to, you know, be like my wife a little bit. Bring out the celebration, because these are three wonderful truths that we can absolutely celebrate tonight. And let the Holy Spirit be the lifter of our heads and say, yes, God, it's so true. Now, celebrating takes a little effort, don't it? Amen?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, have any of you ever been a party pooper?
Huh? Yes.
Confession time. You have. Well, this is going to make this talk very difficult. No. But you know how that, it's easy to be that. But to come in and say, you know what, I recognize these are good things and we ought to celebrate them, it takes a little effort, a little concentration. And I want to tell you about, I read about this one fella. He was a partier. Have you ever known a partier in your life? You know, somebody that's just chasing good time, Charlie. And life's not like that, but you know, they're just chasing. Like anytime there's a party, they're there. This fella was that way. He was into drinking, partying, carousing, and he was out there. He met some good Christian college guys, and they shared with him the gospel, the good news. And believe it or not, he received the truth. Isn't that glorious when someone, they hear it, they hear the word, and he received the truth. And they said, you know, you got to come to church with us. You got to come to church. You can't, you know, you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you know your sins are covered, and you know you're saved, you've been redeemed. But you've got to keep that by coming to church and being with the body of Christ. So he came. So he came to church and they were worshiping the Lord. It's an absolute true story. And they're worshiping and praising. And he starts shouting, party! Party! And a true story. And his friends are elbowing him saying, no! No. But you know what? That's all he knew to say. And it was more truth in his yelling party than 100 hallelujahs that you're just used to saying. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's true. He said that from his heart because he felt the Lord. And the best way that he could celebrate it is with a word that he had always used. Party. Right? Well, tonight, three things that we need to celebrate constantly. And this whole week, I'll be reminding you in one way or the other, you know? And maybe you're not an overt person. There are some people, you know, you got to stifle them. And maybe you're kind of a quiet person. But you still can come to the party. And you can still celebrate with me. Here's the first one. Here's the very first thing. Our God is awesome.
Amen.
Our God is awesome. And the more I'm on this narrow way, the more I'm following Christ, the more awesome he becomes. The more he draws me to our Heavenly Father, I'm like, God, how could you love me so much that you could open my eyes, that I could know you and have a relationship with you? This, there's so much in the Word of God, but listen to what the psalmist writes in Psalm 145. Listen to this. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord. Some of you are a piece of work, his work, and you know you ought to praise him, right? That's how I say that. Keith, that's you. That's right there, that's you, where it says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord. And your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, and talk of your power, and to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Is that something to celebrate? That's our awesome God. Do you know him in that way? Or is he still some far-off deity? You know, he's so awesome, he's so merciful, he's so gracious. But when you read the Word of God, you find out that this awesome God is also frightening. That this awesome, mighty, majestic God is also terrifying. You know what the writer of Hebrews says? The writer of Hebrews says, "Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Elsewhere in 1 Timothy, he mentions this, that he dwells in light which no man can approach. Now, in my getting to know the Lord, I have found him awesome, but I also found out something. It's terrifying how much he knows about us. He knows our ins and our outs. He knows our uprisings. He knows our faults. He knows, can I use the word? He knows our sins. We can't pretend, we can't put on a show. When we come before God, he's consuming fire, and there's no act, there's no fooling him. He knows our thoughts, he knows our opinions, he knows our prejudices, he knows everything about us, he knows our indifference. And you know, that's frightening, isn't it? That this awesome, great God is a consuming fire who knows everything about us, and that he's unapproachable. But that's where the second thing we celebrate come in. So the first thing is that we have an awesome God, but the second thing is this: our God is merciful. Somebody's got to say hallelujah.
Amen.
You've got to. He's merciful. Listen to this, and this is from Titus 3. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. That's mercy. That's grace. That our God, our Heavenly Father, would send a part of himself, his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to redeem us, to have mercy on us. To accept us as we are. So you don't have to fix yourself up. You don't have to make yourself acceptable. We come to him as we are because of the work of Jesus Christ. That's mercy, isn't it? How often I've stayed out of the throne room of grace because I looked at my own unworthiness. And you know, that's a mistake. That's where we push aside the mercy of God. But when I look at the work of Jesus Christ and his worthiness, I find the strength to come before him as we are. But here's the thing. He takes us as we are, and he makes us what we ought to be. That's mercy, isn't it? Have you found the mercy of God? Or maybe you're too busy looking at your own unworthiness. We need to look to Jesus. We need to look to him and say, God, I'm coming just as I am because of your mercy, but you make me what I ought to be. And he does that. Isn't that wonderful? That's something to celebrate, isn't it? It's something to celebrate every day. I tell the Lord, Lord, you know, I don't know why you love me, but I know you do. And I think one of the greatest hymns, personally, one of the most important hymns for us to get is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because the enemy, he minimizes the love of God to us, and that's why we don't celebrate it. So celebrate with me how awesome our God is. Celebrate with me that he's so merciful that he takes us as we are. But there's one last thing tonight, and that's this. And this, particularly with yesterday's news, gives me great hope. Gets me excited. Our God is returning. Our King is returning. And you know, sometimes if you get too caught up in the current events of what's happening, of you know, decisions and the way, even what's happening inside the church and outside the church, you know, you might lose a little hope, you might get a little bit down. But when I think of this, that our great King is going to return, that he's coming, and that his will is going to be accomplished. And you know what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:16? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. Are you looking forward to that day? Does your heart cry, even so come Lord Jesus? Or you're busy. You're occupied. You know? That hope ought to fill us with joy and celebrating tonight. Those three things. So, you ready to celebrate?
Amen.
What does such wonderful things demand from us? I'm asking you. It's not a rhetorical question. Jason, what's the such good news require? What should our response be?
No.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, amen. Amen to the man in the green chair. Well, what our response ought to be, right? Shouldn't it be that we worship him with all our heart, that we're a grateful people, right? That we, every chance we can, that we should exalt him? Shouldn't it be that so? I mean, God is awesome. He's merciful. And yes, one day he will return. And the King of all the earth will do what's right. And we'll see that. But for now, shouldn't our response be praise? You know what I love about camp? Is that we have meetings every day. And every day we worship. That's what we do here. It's not Sunday to Sunday or Sunday to Tuesday or prayer meeting. We're here every day, and we get a chance to praise him. Do you know that that's an awesome thing to do? And it's not only because, of course, that he's worthy of it, but he does something for us. I like to give the illustration, I've given it before. You know, we had the privilege of training under the Schulteises, and Sister Grace Schulteis, she loved to cook. Boy, and she was a good cook. We have some good cooks in this room here. She loved to cook. And more than cooking, she loved to watch people eat. And we had the privilege of every Sunday we would join the Schulteises around their table. And you know, I would salivate from the very beginning. Like, what are we going to eat today? Because she just came up with these creations. But every time you would tell her, you'd say, Sister Grace, whoa, these potatoes are out of this world. You'd get another heaping. You know, and then you'd have to eat it. And she'd be smiling and looking at you. They are good, aren't they, Keith? She would do that. And you know, you'd go, yeah, they really are. Ka-plop! And you'd get more. And that's not even an exaggeration. And the more you'd learn after a while, the going, they're okay. No, I wouldn't do that. But you know, our Heavenly Father, when we worship him from our hearts in spirit and truth, first because he's awesome, merciful, because he has an agenda and he's going to return to us. First because of that, but secondly, he gives himself to us when we praise him. So I'm going to close out tonight. And I'm even going to close out early so the staff meeting can get going. okay? Because I'm gracious that way. But I want to just speak to some of you who maybe, you know, worship isn't your thing, all right? If I could put it that way. And maybe you're more into yourself, or you come from a church where you don't worship. I want to invite you to this week while you're here, whether you're down in the village or you're up here on the staff or a guest, that I want to invite you to celebrate with me. You know, have you ever been to a party where they're just all quiet? How many of you have been to pretty good parties? Let me rephrase that. But you know, I've never been to a party where people are quiet. They're celebrating. And I want to say, whether we're having a table worship or a Sunday night meeting, to worship the Lord, to celebrate these good things. I want to invite you to just let go and let God. Sometimes that involves, you know, a little action, like raising your hands. Now, I've heard so many interpretations about raising your hands. You know, one Mrs. Collis from the Elizabeth Pentecostal Church, Brother Rudolph Collis's wife, she would say, when you lift your hands, it's like holding your umbrella upside down. You know, I rejected that definition because it wasn't logical to me. But it helped a lot of people. But what I like to say is, what means so much to me when I raise my hands, and maybe some of you need to do it, I raise my hands to show the enemy I'm free. You know, there's no shackles on me. Jesus Christ took care of that. Isn't that an awesome thing to do? Right? To say, Lord, look, there's no shackles on me. You set me free through the blood of Jesus Christ. I like that one. That's a good thing. Testifying is a good thing too. How many here love to testify? Yeah. That's good. I'm encouraged for this week. Well, I want to say to the staff, of course I can't pick on the counselors because, Sister Mary, they're all yours.
Thank you.
But to the staff, we are going to have one evening where we just have popcorn testimonies. And I want to hear what Christ is doing in your life. Because you can't have Jesus in your heart and nothing going on. It just don't happen, right? So we're going to have, so testifying is a great thing. I'm going to be quiet in a minute, but you know, Merrill Tenney was here. Now, if you don't know who Merrill Tenney is, you'll find he's an author of many scholarly books. And he said he felt testifying was like undressing in public. That's what he said. But yet he still testified. So testify. Share what God is doing in your life. It's a good thing to do, okay? And so I give you that invitation because we are going to celebrate our King and our Lord. And I want one other thing with this business about praising the Lord out loud. Some people don't like that. Some people just are like, well, that's not me. You know, they just say that, that's not me. I want to say again, I want you to be thinking, even tonight and tomorrow, how much you use your words for things that are less worthy than Jesus Christ. Think about it. You know, we use words so easily for so many worthless things that I can't conceive how it can possibly be crazy, wrong, or nuts that when we're together and the presence of the Lord is here, that we don't use our words to exalt Him. It doesn't make sense, right? We've got to declare the greatness of the Lord. So I give you those invitations to celebrate with me. We're going to sing in our hymnals, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. It's number 32. Number 32. And why don't we stand as we do this, please? That you are such an awesome God. Lord, you're mighty and you're powerful and you are a consuming fire. But we've come to know also the grace and the mercy of our God, that you redeemed us and saved us, that you restored and reconciled us to the Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we do cry, Maranatha. We look for your appearing. And such hope changes us. And we ask God that even tonight as we rest, Lord, and we pray, God, that you'll speak to us through the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you'll come to the staff meeting and bless them. We thank you, Lord, for all the counselors that are here and our guests. And, Lord, we just want to say that we love you. And we pray that you'll keep this camp under your blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.